Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. This Sunday, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, With Us on the Sea. Here's Mary Fran Parkinson with our scripture reading.
Today's gospel lesson is from the Gospel of John, or the Gospel according to John, and we're going to begin reading in the 15th verse of the 6th chapter. When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountains by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, that's the Sea of Galilee, got into a boat, and it started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea had become rough because of a strong wind blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today's worship began with an invitation to remember the moments in which God felt near. And Pastor April showed us pictures from her vacation. Isn't it funny how God so often breaks through when we take the time to step away from everything else and pay attention? The irony was not lost on me that one of those God moments happened in between a chaotic argument between siblings, and somehow, some way, God tends to break through in the midst of chaos. What a wonderful promise with which to begin our time of worship today. Hopefully you have an image, a memory in your life when God felt near. On a different note, the scripture reminds us of the times in which God seems nowhere to be found. The last couple of weeks have felt a little bit that way to me. I don't know about you, but the last couple of weeks in many ways have felt like an unwelcome sequel of the arrival of the COVID-19 pandemic. As the Delta variant continues to impact our state and our community, mask mandates are back, even here. Looking out for the first time in our sanctuary after we said, you don't have to wear your mask if you're vaccinated, now once again we all have to wear our masks regardless of vaccination status because of current trends and because we want to be sure we're doing everything we can to protect those around us. Numbers are rising. People are testing positive again, and all the hopes of getting this thing behind us seem to be plummeting right along with our morale. But this time around, this second time around, there is a new kind of fatigue to the whole experience, isn't there? There is an uneasy familiarity to the worry, to the fear, to the uncertainty. For many of us, it feels like we are heading into yet another dark night, just as we were getting used to the look of light at the end of the COVID tunnel. Kind of like the disciples getting into the boat as evening draws near and darkness begins to cover the land, we find ourselves today with more concerns, more questions than ever before. John's choice of language underscores the vulnerability of the moment for the disciples by hearkening back to the very beginning of creation. As evening came to be, John says, setting the stage for that which is about to happen. New Testament scholar Wes Howard Brooks says, John brings readers into the world of becoming. The transitory place of ordinary life in which nothing is certain and everything changes, it's exactly the same as in the beginning when God started creating. There was chaos, and everything was shifting around. Here, we are once again invited into a transitory world of becoming. The boat carrying the disciples drifts out to sea, and everybody is left wondering, where is Jesus? Is he still up on the mountain where he went to retreat after multiplying the bread and the fish? What will happen when he comes back down to find that his friends are nowhere to be found? In fact, that they have abandoned him, loading up on the boat and heading home without him. And what will come of the disciples setting out for this journey alone? You know, there are only two times in John's gospel where Jesus and the disciples separate themselves from one another. This one in chapter 6, and then later in the gospel in Gethsemane. But this time, there is no plan. There's no discussion about where Jesus is going, or when he's going to come back, or what the disciples should do in the meantime. Remember, in Gethsemane, Jesus says, wait here and pray and keep watch. But this time, Jesus is just gone. John simply tells us, the readers, in one short verse, that he had to get away quickly to avoid being taken by force and made king. That's how the crowd responded to Jesus' miracle on the hillside when he took one meager serving of bread and fish and fed the thousands who had gathered to be close to him. After witnessing that miracle, the people did what people do. They thought Jesus was amazing, and so they wanted to enthrone him, to give him earthly power, political power, to name him king. But that is not at all what Jesus had in mind. It's not what Jesus came to do. It's not the kind of power that he wanted to wield. In fact, it was sort of the opposite. Jesus had something different in mind. And so seeing where they were going, he took off and retreated to the mountains alone. Here, in these verses, everything is left unknown. Everything is up in the air, and everything is looking a bit worrisome when the disciples step into the boat as evening approaches and the light succumbs to darkness. Again, a theme in John's gospel. The motif of light and darkness is one used throughout this gospel to give us, the readers, a clue about what is to come. Remember the prologue, which echoes the sentiments of creation when John tells us that Jesus is the light of the world, the one who will overcome the darkness. And here we are, just 5 chapters later, heading into dark waters on a boat. While Jesus seems to be missing in action, where did he go? As we discover what happens next, we can almost feel it in our gut because we know a little something about facing darkness alone, don't we? Even before the pandemic began nearly 18 months ago, loneliness in this country was on the rise. Researchers were studying it, and they found that partly due to technological advances allowing us to live our lives more and more online, in echo chambers of our own thoughts and opinions, we were becoming a lonelier people. And then add to that months of social distancing and virtual gatherings and isolation in the midst of one of the scariest experiences of our lives, a global pandemic. We certainly have all learned a bit about facing darkness alone. And this pandemic isn't the only lonely darkness that we've ever faced. Many of us can remember times in our lives when perhaps the bills were due and we weren't sure how we might pay them. A lonely darkness. Or maybe the diagnosis came back and it wasn't good, but we knew we had to accept it, even though we weren't quite sure what would happen next. Or maybe the news came, a phone call that a friend or a loved one had been in a terrible accident. Or perhaps the pregnancy test came back negative after months and months of praying it would be positive. Maybe the acceptance letter we were waiting for didn't come back with a word of acceptance. Maybe the grade on the test wasn't quite as high as we hoped. We could go on and on and on and add to this list because our lives are full of moments like this. Struggles and pain and loss that seem to be all our own. Moments of shame and moments of sadness, moments when our best doesn't quite seem good enough, moments of utter vulnerability, moments of brokenness. And all too often, those moments seem to come one right after the other, compounding our pain in intense periods of time. In those moments, we know a little something about being on a boat, about traveling across a dark and stormy sea alone when everything beneath us and around us starts to shift and sway. But the disciples rowed on anyway. As the wind blew and the seas tossed beneath them, they made their way toward Capernaum. And as they went, I wonder if they prayed. As the winds picked up and the boat started to rock like problems compounding all at the worst moments, did they cry out to God asking for calmer seas? Were they looking for Jesus, wondering why he wasn't there with them? They had seen that he could provide for thousands of people out of just a few loaves and fishes. They knew that Jesus was the one that could perform miracles. Why had he abandoned them now in this moment? I wonder if they were tempted to give up on God altogether, to give up on Jesus and to give themselves over to the wind and the waves and the journey. In his haunting memoir called Night, Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel writes about his experience in a concentration camp. After months of death and horror and tragedy, there's a moment in the book when the gallows are set for three who had crossed the line and they were condemned to die. In the midst of so much unbearable pain compounding on top of pain, Wiesel remembers this one particular experience being different from all the others that he and his fellow prisoners had to observe. As Wiesel stood there before the terrible scene unfolding before him, waiting for the signal from the head of camp to execute the task, he remembers someone behind him crying out, "Where is God? Where is he?" And then the signal came, and the chairs that once supported the condemned prisoners were knocked over. The deed was done. Afterwards, Wiesel and the others were made to parade by the gallows to observe, to look, and to make note of what could happen if they crossed a line. And as he walked past, he heard the same neighbor whose voice cried out before. But this time, the voice cried out, "Where is God now? Where is God?" Wiesel remembers hearing the voice of his neighbor and at the same time another voice bubbling up from deeply within himself. And the one he heard within himself said, "Where is God? God is here, hanging here on those gallows." A few miles out from shore, as the waves began to rise around them, surely one of the disciples wanted to cry out, "Where is God? Where is God now?" And I'd be willing to bet that most of us have asked that same question in our times of great pain and sadness and confusion and loss. Where are you, God? How are you letting this happen? Why aren't you showing up? Why aren't you ending this madness, this nonsense, this tragedy, this suffering, this pain? We all have moments when we want or even need God to intervene and calm the storms that rage around us. But there are times like the one that we find in today's gospel reading, when the storm just doesn't calm. The waves are not commanded to stand still. The winds are not spoken to stillness. But we also know, and we also find it in today's gospel, that though God is not working in the ways that we might expect or desire, God is still right there with us. From the boat, the disciples look outward toward the water, and they see Jesus standing there on top of the waves. You see, without calming the storm, Jesus stands beside the disciples right in the middle of it, feeling the same movement of the water beneath his feet, withstanding the strong winds that are blowing all around him. Jesus is in the middle of the storm with his disciples as they cross over to Capernaum, reminding them and reminding us that when we want to ask, "Where is God?" the answer is always, God is here. God is here now. God is with us. God is on the gallows. God is in the storm. God is in every moment of our lives. Though we may feel it, we are never alone. So in these days with so much uncertainty, as the tents are going up once again at local hospitals to manage the surge of patients, as children and parents and teachers and administrators prepare for yet another unpredictable school year, as church members like you and I make the difficult decisions about whether we will worship at home or in church with our families, as workers who had just begun to settle back into their offices contemplate returning to home to wait it out once again, as caregivers worry about their high-risk loved ones, as people living in residential facilities reinstate regulations and the threat of further isolation looms, as we struggle with fear and anger and frustration and fatigue, no matter what our storms might be called, whether they go by the name of Delta or some other name that nobody around us even knows, may we always remember that we are not alone. May we remember that there will be times when the darkness begins to set in and push out the light that was just beginning to come. There will be times when the seas beneath us feel unsteady and the winds around us are blowing so hard we can barely hold on. But as we look out from our boats across the rough waters that seem to be rising on all sides, may we always remember and hear the voice from somewhere deep down within that God is right here. God is right here with us, offering the promise of God's own presence that sees us all the way through to the other side. Amen.